So we're reading from the Srimad Bhagavatam, the Canto 5, Chapter 1, the activities of Maharaj Priyavrata, text number 1. Rajavacha Priyavrata Bhagavata Atmarama Katam Mune Grihe Ramata Yanmula Karma Banda Parabhava Raja Ovacha Priyavrata Bhagavata Atmarama Katamune Grihe Ramata Yanmula Karma Banda Parabhavaha. Ladies, Rajavacha, King Parikshit said, Priyavrata, King Priyavrata, Bhagavataha, the great devotee, Atma Arama, who takes pleasure in self-realization, Katam, why? Mune, a great sage, Grihe, at home, Aramataha, enjoyed, Yat Mula, having which as the root cause, Karma Bandha, the bondage of fruitive activities, Parabhava, defeat of one's human mission. Translation and purport by His Divine Grace, A.C. Bhaktivedanta Swami Srila Prabhupada. Translation, King Parikshit inquired from Shukadeva Goswami, O great sage, why did King Priyavrata, who was a great self-realized devotee of the Lord, remain in household life, which is the root cause of the bondage of karma, fruit of activities, and which defeats the mission of human life? Please repeat. King Parikshit inquired from Shukadeva Goswami, O great sage, why did King Priyavrata, who was a great self-realized devotee of the Lord, remain in household life, which is the root cause of the bondage of karma, fruitive activities, and which defeats the mission of human life. Purport. In the fourth canto, Srila Shukadeva Goswami explains that Narada Muni perfectly instructed King Priyavrata about the mission of human life. The mission of human life is to realize oneself and then gradually go back home, back to Godhead. Since Narada Muni instructed the king fully on this subject, why did he again enter household life, which is the main cause of material bondage? Maharaj Pariksit was greatly astonished that King Priyavrata remained in household life, especially since he was not only a self-realized soul, but also a first-class devotee of the Lord. A devotee actually has no attraction for household life. But surprisingly, King Priyavrata enjoyed household life very much. One may argue, why is it wrong to enjoy household life? The reply is that in household life, one becomes bound by the results of fruitive activities. The essence of household life is sense enjoyment, and as long as one engrosses his mind in working hard for sense enjoyment, one becomes bound by the reactions of fruitive activities. This ignorance of self-realization is the greatest defeat in human life. The human form of life is especially meant for getting out of the bondage of fruitive activities. But as long as one is forgetful of his life's mission and acts like an ordinary animal, eating, sleeping, mating, and defending, he must continue his conditioned life of material existence. Such a life is called Swarup Vismriti, forgetful of one's real constitutional position. Therefore, in Vedic civilization, one is trained in the very beginning of life as the brahmachari. A brahmachari must execute austerities and refrain from sex indulgence. Therefore, if one is completely trained in the principles of brahmacharya, he generally does not enter household life. He is then called a naishtika brahmachari, which indicates total celibacy. King Pariksit was thus astonished that the great King Priyavrata, although trained in the principles of naishtika brahmacharya, entered household life. The word Bhagavata Atmaramaha are very significant in this verse. If one is self-satisfied as the Supreme Personality of Godhead, he is called Bhagavata Atmarama. There are different types of satisfaction. Karmis are satisfied in their fruitive activities. Jnanis are satisfied to merge into the effulgence of Brahman. And devotees are satisfied to engage in the Lord's service. The Lord is self-satisfied because he is fully opulent, and one who is satisfied by serving him is called Bhagavata Atmarama. Manushyanam Sahasreshu. Out of many thousands of persons, one may endeavor for liberation, and out of many thousands of persons attempting to become liberated, one may achieve liberation from the anxieties of material existence and become self-satisfied. Even that satisfaction, however, is not the ultimate satisfaction. The jnanis and the karmis have desires, as do the yogis, but devotees have no desires. Satisfaction in the service of the Lord is called akama, freedom from desire. And this is the ultimate satisfaction. Therefore, Maharaj Pariksit inquired, how could one who is fully satisfied on the highest platform be satisfied with family life? The word parabhava, parabhava, in this verse is also significant. When one is satisfied in family life, he is doomed because he must already have forgotten his relationship with the Lord. Prahlada Maharaj describes how the activities of family life implicate one more and more. Atma patam griha andakupam. Household life is like a dark well. If one falls into this well, his spiritual death is assured. How Priyavrata Maharaj remained a liberated Paramahansa even in family life, is described in the next verse. So the verse again. King Parikshit inquired from Shukadeva Goswami, a great sage, why did King Priyavrata, who is a great self-realized devotee of the Lord, remain in household life, which is the root cause of the bondage of karma, fruit of activities, which defeats the mission of human life. Raja Vacha Priyavrata Bhagavata Atmarama Katamune Griye Ramata Yanmula Karma Bandha Parabha. Mam Vishnu Vidaya Krishna Pristai Bhutai Srimate Bhaktivedanta Swami Tanamane Namaste Sarasatun Deve Gauravani Vacharane Nirvishesha Srinivadi Paskatya De Satarane. So this concept that household life is defeating the mission of human form of life probably would be not a very popular concept. Well, maybe it would be a popular concept because people don't stay married very long anymore. But previously people used to get married and it would be lasting practically for the whole life. But people are not against, even people who are not for married life, they're definitely for sense gratification. Instead of formally getting married, it's all Gandharva marriages. Gandharva marriages means you kidnap the lady without any formal ceremony and just by agreement you remain married. Because even in the Gandharva marriages, then they'd be married for their whole life. But the point is that Grihamedi life is not very desirable. What proper Grihastha life is will be shown by Priyavrata Maharaj. Because he was quite qualified to do so, because he was already on the platform of Naishika Brahmachari. Therefore, he was not marrying out of a desire for sense gratification. He was marrying out of a duty, out of dharma, and therefore he was able to perfectly fulfill dharma while in married life. As we'll see, that doesn't mean to be without any feeling for one's wife or family. As a matter of fact, devotional life is not without feeling. Otherwise, how could it be devotional? If you don't have any feelings, how can you say, I'm very devoted to you, but I have absolutely no feeling towards you? Even some feeling of duty has to be there. No feeling, robots have no feeling. Yes, I am serving you, I am serving you. What should I do, Master? Robots are very dutiful, and they have no feeling. So devotional service means the highest level of consciousness or feeling. So if one is on that highest level of consciousness or feeling, it is not that one is not, he neglects one's duty. Generally in the material world, we do what we're supposed to do because we have get some sense gratification from it. Therefore, we say, I love you, I'll be with you forever, and we're with that person in modern society just as long as we can enjoy our senses with that person. And then after using them up, then we just spit them out, look for someone else to devour. All in the nature, all in the so-called feeling or love. But actually, feeling is feeling in Krishna consciousness. And when one is in Krishna conscious and feeling, then one has not only loves one's family members, but one loves everyone. And if one doesn't love Krishna, one will not love anyone. Of course, how is it that in Vedic culture, people stay together and they didn't necessarily love Krishna? But they did love Krishna in the sense that the Vedas, the Vedic culture, religious culture in general, is all coming from Krishna. Dharmam tu sakshat bhagavat pranitam. That all religious scriptures come from Krishna. And therefore, following regulated household life is a kind of appreciation for Krishna, serving him, or God. But with the absence of any God consciousness, people have become like animals or less than animals, and they simply stay together as long as they can happily or unhappily eat, sleep, mate, and defend. And even having children seems to be no barrier nowadays for getting divorced. You just, hopefully the kids make it out, you know, they get their education in school where they're brainwashed to enjoy their senses and try and make money. And then they're, most of the rest of the time, either they're playing video games or they're taking drugs with their friends somewhere. This is modern education. And the parents, they don't have children out of dharma. They have them as some kind of hobby, expensive hobby, or out of an accident. You're really unexpected, but what can we do? So, got to live with you, kid. We love you anyhow. We'd love to get rid of you, actually. So this kind of consciousness in human society is actually degraded society, so that children have no education, practically speaking. They're vana sangskara. There's no even culture of any kind of religious culture, even moral culture. Therefore, after 20 years of such culture, and then you try to explain to them that the aim of life is self-realization, all they can do is growl at you. What do you mean, self? Never heard of it. It's hope that anyone who has any sumedhasa, any consciousness left, will try to appreciate what the process of self-realization is and how household life fits into it. Because it's not that, although household life is being seemingly criticized here, but it is also, household life is grihastha life. But there's, majority of people agree, hamedis. Therefore, Pariksha Maharaj, who was a householder, he asked the intelligent question at the time of his death, to Shukadeva Goswami, namely, what is the duty of a person who is about to die? And Shukadeva Goswami responded immediately, Varyan esha te prashna krito lokita ripaha atmavat samatam pumsam shotavyadishu yakparha. That these kind of questions, they're actually glorious. Ordinary people don't ask that kind of questions. If you go up to someone in the street, and you ask them, my dear sir, or go to the university, the most learned scholar at the university, and say, my dear sir, you're a learned scholar, you've gotten so many degrees, so much appreciation, please tell me an important answer to an important question. Now I'm about to die, what is my duty? He'll look at you, why are you so morose? Maybe you should take some drugs or something, you know. Have you seen a doctor lately? No, I'm about to die. I mean, everyone's about to die. Wow. And he picks up the phone, and these people with the white coats come in, take you away. Wait a second, I want the answer to my question. Son, you're not supposed to ask such questions. It's impolite. It's uncivilized. So people are just denying the reality that we're about to die. Maybe today, maybe in 50 years from now, but everyone is on the point of death. So instead of asking those questions, what are people asking? Shotavyadishu Rajandra, Srinam Shanti Sahasrashaha, Apashitam Atmatatvam, Griheshu Griham Edinam. Generally, they're asking hundreds and thousands of questions all about griha life. Griha life begins with the body. One doesn't have to have their own house to be absorbed in a griha. This body itself is a house for the soul. What is there to eat? Where can I sleep? Can I mate today? How can I defend myself? This is the typical concerns of one who is a griha mati, simply living to gratify the senses. And what is the topic? Of course, as I just said, the topic, nidraya riyate naktam, vavavayena chavavayam, divya charteha rajan katumba bharaneva. During the day, people are simply busy making money. Or some people, they just go to the welfare department. With great effort, they somehow or another get enough energy together to wind up at the welfare department and collect their check. Because nowadays, in America, you don't have to go to the welfare department. They send it to you. And they don't even send it to you anymore because people are too lazy even to cash it at the bank. They deposit it in your bank directly. So you don't have to worry, you don't have to go through the hard effort, taxing effort of picking up a check once a month at the welfare office. Too taxing on these poor people. They have to conserve their energy for sense gratification. So, people are accustomed to simply, during the day, making money and at night, and then spending it for sense gratification. Maybe in Slovenia, there's not stores and huge stores in every block. If you go to America, it's one big shopping center. Everywhere you look, there's a few houses here, an apartment, and then there's huge apartment complexes. So people, they just spend their whole weekend just shopping. Maybe one day shopping, and the rest of the day shopping also. Window shopping. Their life is simply shopping. And even if they don't make enough money to buy anything, then they have credit cards. And if they don't have enough credit cards, they simply try to get more credit cards. They can keep on shopping and shopping. And at the end of life, as one bumper sticker says, whoever gets the most toys at the end of life wins. One lady, she had $40,000 of things she bought by the internet in boxes in her house she never opened. Because she had nothing to do, she just shop on the internet for things and have them delivered. But she never had time to open them. So people are just shopping, shopping, shopping. And then at night, what do? Either they sleep or they have sex indulgence. But what is all centered around? Deha patya kalatradi shu atma sanyesh vasatsupi tesham pramanod nidanam pashana pina pashati. The body, deha, apatya, the children, kalatra, the wife, and adishu, and so many other things. Atma sanyesh. They're supposed to be our protectors. Why do people get married? Why do they have children? It's all meant for protection. You'll protect me, I'll protect you, the children protect us, we'll protect the dog will protect us. It's all meant for protection. Because ultimately the real fear is everyone's afraid of dying. And we're hoping when I get old and no one loves me anymore, my children will still take care of me. Therefore we have children and husband and wife so that we're not on the street, homeless, and no clothes, nothing to eat, and just dying, starvation, old age, and people just walk by and say, get out of my way, you old. Whatever. So everyone's afraid of what's going to happen. As if you die comfortably at home, you have a happy death. And any other way, it's an unhappy death. As if and people at home or in the hospital die happily or healthily. He died, but he was in a healthy state of consciousness. He was in a healthy, his body was healthy when he died. Therefore, his life is successful. Therefore, everyone's afraid of death. Everyone's making arrangements to protect oneself, and now everyone's a failure. So why did Priyavrata Maharaj enter into household life, and how was he successful in household life? Because he never gave up the idea that he was Krishna's servant. Does that mean, thinking that he was Krishna's servant, he neglected his wife and children, simply doing aartis all day long and being out in book distribution? When he came home at night, his children were asleep and his wife, you know, it was 5 minutes before bedtime. And she says, can I tell you something? Sorry, next week I'm tired. No, how is it that Prihvrata Maharaj, his household life was successful, and he was successful because he maintained Krishna consciousness. And because he was actually Krishna conscious, he was able to relate to his wife in a what would be considered a normal social way. His wife decorated herself and dressed very nicely and had tried to attract Prihvrata's mind with so many feminine gestures, and Prihvrata accepted that. But within himself remained a devotee of Krishna. And therefore he was not materially attracted to his wife, but he appreciated his wife as a devotee and her devotional service she was rendering. And he reciprocated. Therefore, that's the attitude. That we're not, even in household life, we're not here for sense gratification. It doesn't mean that we're not going to show some affection to our wife and children or husband, but it's done in Krishna consciousness. There are six loving exchanges in devotional service, and they're done with love, even between the devotees. Real love. If Krishna is the center, the one is feeling blissful by being Krishna conscious, then one can actually love others. If one is feeling needy due to lack of actual satisfaction, then others will simply be seen as objects of sense gratification. And that's not love. That's simply exploitation. Therefore, Prihvrata Maharaj was the example, and how to follow it is not so easy. Therefore, in the beginning, there is swadhyaya, there is study, cultivation of celibacy. The idea of celibacy in brahmacharya life is not to save up one's potency so when one gets married, then one can have unlimited sense enjoyment. No, the idea of brahmacharya is to actually get a higher taste in Krishna consciousness. So if one gets sufficiently higher taste, then one will appreciate that sense gratification, either eating, sleeping, mating, defending, cannot satisfy one completely. One must get, eventually, the highest taste in Krishna consciousness. And therefore, even if one enters into household life without not getting a full taste of Krishna consciousness, still one cultivates dana, dhammas, and jagna. One's life becomes a sacrifice for Krishna, and one is willing to give in charity to others Krishna consciousness by assisting in the Sankirtan movement. And at the same time, the senses and mind are controlled, because even in household life, one sits down morning, evening with the wife and children, chants Hare Krishna and serves a deity. One does not think himself to be the lord of the castle or the home, or one doesn't think himself to be ultimately the proprietor of his wife and children. He realizes he's simply been given some duty to do to raise his wife and children in Krishna consciousness and provide for them so that everyone can live peacefully and advance spiritually. So if dana, if charity is given, people are actually charitable, at least from the Vedic point of view, at least going out and inviting people to come and take something to eat. As I said, when Prabhupada was asked by a new householder, what is the intimate relationship between a husband and his newly married wife? And Prabhupada answered him by saying, the wife cooks very nice prasadam, and the husband goes out and cries out in a loud voice, if there is anyone hungry, let them come and eat. If there is anyone hungry, let them come and eat. Three times loudly. And the devotee was thinking Prabhupada didn't hear what he said. So he repeated it again. Prabhupada, I just got married and I just want to know, how can I have an intimate relationship with my wife in Krishna consciousness? So Prabhupada said, the wife cooks nice prasadam. The husband goes out in a loud voice three times shouts out, if anyone's hungry, let them come and eat. If anyone's hungry, let them come and eat. If anyone's hungry, let them come and eat. And the devotee is still confused, didn't accept what Prabhupada said, couldn't understand, thought Prabhupada had misunderstood him. So at the end of the morning walk, he asked the same question and got the same answer. And even in the Vedic culture, there's basically the idea is not household life is meant to enjoy one's senses to the maximum and by expanding one's economic development unlimitedly. Then, if one follows that properly, then one can fulfill the next stage, one can actually seriously take the next stage, which is tapasya, tolerance. And if there is tapasya, then one could become completely free in the vanaprastha stage from all anxieties over gain and loss, which is what the problem in household life or in any life where we're not Krishna conscious. And then one can come to a platform of self-realization, which is conducive. Abhayam satya samshudira jnana yoga vyavyastiti. Fearlessness, because realization, we're eternal. Therefore, not being afraid of what's going to happen to our body. It's already happened to our body. We're going old. We're going to become diseased. We're going to die. But to spend a whole life being fearful of the inevitable is just a waste of time. Thinking if I die when I'm 100, then my life is good. And if I die when I was 99, it wasn't as good. No, it depends on our consciousness, now and in the future. That determines whether our life is success or not. Not how many years we live. The trees live for thousands of years. So does that mean if I become a redwood tree my next lifetime and I live for 2,000 years, it's better than my previous life? Where I died when I was 75. No, one becomes fearless, and at the same time, one becomes pure in heart. One does not try to exploit others. One tries to serve others, helping them become Krishna conscious. And then one understands how everyone and everything is actually related to Krishna. And one can see every Krishna everywhere, all the time, and feel Krishna's presence always and everywhere. And always be in blissful consciousness. So household life is a step. Generally speaking, it is rare that there are naishtika brahmacharis, especially in this age. It's rare there are any brahmacharis. What to speak of naishtika brahmacharis. But household life should be properly performed so that in Krishna consciousness, so it becomes successful. So one actually has affection for his wife and children, so that actually it's not for exploitation of each other, but it's actually to help each other advance spiritually and fulfill the mission of human life. So I'll stop there. Thank you. Any questions?
Yes. Yeah, you mentioned that it's even rare to find like brahmacharis. What did you mean by this?
What do I mean?
Well,
just the number of devotees in our society nowadays, the number of brahmacharis is, maybe here in Slovenia, it's a haven for brahmacharis. In some temples, they've become extinct. You can't find a brahmachari. Not that there shouldn't be brahmacharis, the temple should be filled with brahmacharis. But somehow or another, we have to cultivate that consciousness. At least for some time. It's not that if I put on saffron, you know, it's like getting a tattoo, you can't take it off. But at least the proper consciousness should be cultivated. Anything else? Okay, thank you very much. Grantarai Srimad Bhagavatam Ki Jai. Srila Prabhupada Ki Jai. Gaur Premanande.